Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Peter Pettit, co-founder of Four Rivers Services, a lender-based litigation funding advisory and brokerage service. Four Rivers advises both law firms and claimants on litigation funding, case management, and law firm finance and M&A. It also provides consultancy services to those looking to invest in the industry. Peter, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John, and delighted to be here with you in New York.
Yes, absolutely. Delighted to have you here all the way from the UK.
Thank you.
Let's get right into it. You have a background as a chartered accountant with corporate finance and legal services experience. So how did you end up in the litigation funding industry?
Well, it's quite a long journey, John, so I'll try and be brief. You're absolutely right. I qualified as an accountant back in the late 80s in London. And having spent some time in industry, I then, at the beginning of the 2000 decade, became a corporate finance advisor. And what we were doing there was advising companies and SMEs on raising finance to grow or indeed to exit by selling. And I did that for probably about 13, 14 years, mostly in the UK, but we did have a spell in the Middle East. And when we came back from the Middle East, I started to look into the legal services industry and indeed had a client which needed some advice on strategy and succession. And that client was in the legal cost space. And cutting a very long story short, I was invited to run that company to prepare it for a buyout. And part of my role there was obviously to look at diversifying the products and services that we supplied. And we looked at litigation finance as a very interesting growth industry where our services would be needed, because cost advisory, cost control, cost management are essential in litigation finance. Obviously, at the start, you need to put together a very robust budget to know how much money is going to be needed to run the case. And thereafter, clearly, the costs have got to be controlled so that no overruns or underruns happen. So we saw litigation finance as a big opportunity. I started to connect with a number of people in the industry to look into the opportunities for us. And ultimately, my role at the cost company finished when we couldn't conclude the buyout. But I saw litigation finance as a great opportunity for myself personally, and therefore went back to the people I'd spoken to and asked them whether they felt that my experience and skills would be useful in helping to develop a fund within the industry. And that's really how I entered into the industry, coming with this finance and legal services background. And we identified at the beginning of 2006, myself and my business partner, David Vines, who is a qualified solicitor, albeit not practicing, that litigation finance was a very exciting industry with plenty of growth potential. But it was also a complicated industry, because litigation finance is, by its nature, very complicated. It's a complicated structured finance product. And therefore, there was certainly going to be a need for an advisory service that would help law firms and claimants navigate their way through this complex financial product. And that's really how Four Rivers evolved. It was providing services to those communities to help them get the best deal. And ultimately, the best deal is not just about price or structure, it's about what works for the parties involved. And of course, in litigation finance, you've got three main parties. You've got the claimant, him or herself, you've got the fund, and you've got the law firm. And unless you can put together a deal that works for all of those three parties, it's not going to work. So there's quite a complex advisory service needed to bring those parties together and to make deals happen that wouldn't otherwise happen. And I think that's the core of what we're offering at Four Rivers.
Yeah, so picking up on that advisory brokerage idea, say I'm a law firm or a claimant, why do I need a broker or advisor when engaging with the funding industry? If you can go into that a bit more for us.
Yeah, good question. So I think starting with the law firm, we know a number of very good law firms, and what they're really good at doing is the law. That's their expertise, advising clients on legal matters, and I think that's probably what they enjoy doing most as well. Running around the finance industry trying to find funding for cases, I don't think is necessarily the best use of their time. It certainly is a lengthy and complex process, and I think if you're a lawyer, you're going to clock up quite a few hours that you may not be able to recover doing that. And knowing law firm management as I do, that's not necessarily going to look too good on the monthly figures that the partners have to submit. So we like to think that we can take all of that burden away from the lawyer and do it to achieve their objectives. I think from the claimant's point of view, there's no doubt that unless you're a serial litigant, you're not going to be doing this too often. Therefore, you wouldn't have, of course, any experience in putting together a deal of this sort. So I think it's very useful to have a seasoned advisor who really understands how the product works, really understands what the components of a litigation finance agreement are, and there are many of them, and it's a lengthy and tortuous document. So again, we feel we add quite a lot of value by helping the claimant understand the terms of the agreement, what he's signing up to. And as I said earlier, it's about making the deal work for all of those parties. Because if it doesn't work for all of those parties, frankly, you're not going to be able to proceed forward. So I think it's a value-add service. It's about getting, yes, the best deal in the market, but best doesn't always mean cheapest. It's going to mean that the deal is structured in such a way that each of these parties' objectives is met. And there's a lot of running around to do to achieve that, and that's where we feel we can add the most value.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very complex industry, very opaque industry. So for folks on the outside of it, like a lot of claimants, obviously, it's going to be tough to figure out. I'm interested to know what either law firms or claimants, what are they most concerned about when they discuss with you about in terms of selecting a funder? Maybe some folks who don't have industry experience. Obviously, pricing and terms is a major factor, but you know, are there other concerns that you are frequently brought up to you?
Absolutely, and you're right. Obviously, pricing and terms are key. It's very important that the optimum result is achieved for the claimants. We're normally acting on the claimant's side, so we have to make sure that we do the best deal on behalf of our client. But there are other factors. We deal with the majority of funders in the market, and as you're well aware, there have been a number of new entrants into the market in the last few years. We expect that to continue. We think it's an exciting industry, very dynamic industry. There seems to be a lot of new capital coming in, so inevitably there's going to be quite a few new entrants. And again, that requires some navigation, that requires some advice to make sure that we're dealing with sources of capital that are going to work. We like to see in funders strong, experienced teams. We like to see a management team that's got a good mixture of financial and litigation and arbitration experience. We do feel that that's absolutely necessary. We like to look at also the team, the general team that's working on the case, what sort of experience they've got, what their background is, if they have any particular sector experience. That can be very important. Someone who's got an oil and gas background, for example, in the funder, we feel more comfortable dealing with that person for an oil and gas transaction because of that experience and knowledge of the dynamics of that particular sector. So the team that's working on the transaction we feel is very important to look at. There's obviously a chemistry piece in all of this. So from a claimant's point of view and the law firm's point of view, it's very important that they have some chemistry with the funding team going forward, because although, as we're well aware, the funder can't unduly influence the case going forward because of the champerty and maintenance issues, they are nonetheless perceived to be a partner, and they of course have the right to monitor cases. They have the right to be present at certain meetings, and therefore I think that chemistry and an ongoing relationship is very important. So we would want to make sure that any deal that was struck, everyone is happy basically working with each other. And I think just going back to the experience point, I mean, certain cases obviously require certain skill sets. There may be some cases where the merits are very evident, and that's not going to be too much of an issue. But perhaps the enforcement piece is the most challenging. So again, where the funder has particular experience perhaps in enforcing in certain jurisdictions, that can be an important consideration as well. So part of our role, of course, when we're selecting funders for a particular case, and we do that selection process very formally, we produce a report that goes to our claimants and law firms as to who we think are the best funders to consider the case. We'll be looking at all of those factors in helping us decide who the best partner will be going forward. So it isn't just price and structure.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned the chemistry thing, because I have heard that dating analogy get used multiple times by funders, you know, the funder law firm relationship. So I can definitely see how having a sort of an advisory service on top of that, managing that chemistry, can be really valuable.
I think that's right. Having said that, we absolutely acknowledge that certain law firms have existing relationships with funders that they want to preserve, and that's absolutely right, and there's a reciprocity angle there.
Sure.
So what we always say to the law firms, look, we're very happy to bring into the process any funders that you are comfortable working with already, and where you feel you have got a good relationship, and to make it very clear that you want those funds as part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So I think chemistry is important, yes, and we would want to observe that, to recognize that going forward.
Absolutely. So let's say there's a handful of funders who are all interested in one of your claims that you're representing, and they're all offering similar term sheets. Take me through the process of selecting the right funder to work with. What are some of the other considerations that might go into that?
Yeah, so just rewinding a little bit, yeah. I think to come up with the short list of funders to start with, which we would want approved by the law firm and the claimant,
yeah,
we would have already done some sort of pre-selection process.
Sure.
And that would be around size of claim, jurisdiction, team credentials, those sorts of factors. So then we're left with a good pre-selected group of potential funders. And then I think it comes down to perhaps even more granularity in this as to what specific experience perhaps the funding team has got in the crucial areas of the case. And as I say, that can be enforcement, that can be jurisdiction, that can be sector. So we'd want to drill down quite deep to say, look, we've got a fund here, you know, their terms are perhaps not the most competitive in terms of price, but they're not bad. However, the team has got exceptional experience in this particular type of case, or the particular dynamics of the case that need attention. So we would actually, in this particular case, be saying, albeit the pricing is not, they're not at the top of the rank for the pricing, they are very much at the top of the rankings for experience and expertise. So again, it's a selection process that we like to be very focused on, and that we like to spend a lot of time on, because I think these are the crucial parts of winning a case. Ultimately, if you don't win a case, then pricing and structure aren't relevant. If you've got a partner there that can add a lot of value and help win a case, that's probably the most important factor, to be honest. And I think we're also in a market where pricing is reasonably transparent. So whilst there are variations in pricing between the funds, and I expect those variations to evolve as time goes on, I think pricing is becoming more innovative as more competition is coming into the market. But as things stand, there's some kind of consistency out there. So actually, often pricing isn't going to be the most important factor, it's more the other elements that I identified.
Wow, that's really interesting. It's interesting. Just like most industries, cheapest isn't always best. Like most
well, it's a nice price pay twice.
There you go.
but then again, I'd like to think that the funders that we put in the frame are all capable of doing a good job on the case. Yeah.
So what happens after the deal gets done? What's your company's role once the deal, the term sheet has been signed and the funding agreement is in place? Do you actively manage the claim? If so, to what extent?
Yeah, so it really depends on what we've been engaged to do. In a number of cases, we're really engaged to put the funding deal in place and to advise on that and to help with due diligence and actually closing the case, and that's where our involvement actually ends. However, one of the services that you mentioned at the start that we offer is legal case management, and that's where the claimant normally has come to us quite early and asked us to put together the team, which would involve some or all of the law firm, the barristers, the experts, the e-discovery providers, whatever else is needed. And they may also want us to do a project management role. So that's really a traditional project management role, making sure that all parties do what they're supposed to on time and in good order. So in that case, we would be actively involved in the case as it moves forward. So it really depends on what we've been engaged to do.
So a couple of years ago, you announced a strategic alliance with Premonition, a litigation data analytics firm. What advantages does that type of alliance bring to the table? Also, I'm interested to know, because I always like to ask this question, does this type of partnership a harbinger of things to come? Do you see this industry becoming more reliant on AI going forward?
Yeah, I mean, just talking about Premonition, and so we know Toby and Guy, who are the founders of that business, very well, and we see that as a very interesting long-term relationship. Most things in this industry are long-term, so you start somewhere, and hopefully in the future you gain benefits from it. I think that they've got some really interesting data, and they're doing some very creative and innovative things with it. And we believe there's opportunities working with them to, and this has been proven so far, to identify, for example, serial litigants, claimants in certain areas, people who are regularly filing cases in the courts, obviously, are probably going to need some kind of potential financial assistance in the future. So using data like that and using Premonition's very skillful analytics, it's definitely an aid to identifying and originating potential opportunities. And I think AI, of course, has got a role to play in that. I think AI generally has clearly got an important role to play in the legal services industry. But let's face it, it's in a very early stage. There's a lot of cynicism around it. I think particularly with legal services, where obviously a very large number of cases settle, and therefore the details of that are confidential. We are not necessarily blessed with a full set of data to make judgments and views on. But I've spoken with a number of AI providers over the last year, and will continue to do so. And I think their ideas are very interesting. I think a lot of this is evolving. Would I want to jump in at the moment and actually have Four Rivers have a formal AI partner? Probably not, because I think that there's a lot of progress still to make. Will law firms and litigation financiers use AI in the future? Absolutely. It's bound to happen, and some of them are doing so already. Do I think that any funders at the moment have got technology that makes them superior to others? Not really. I think at the moment you're looking at the skills and experience of the people in making judgments on the merits of cases. But I do think more and more technology will come into it. And certainly, you know, if we can have any tools that enable us to add more value that are based on AI, I'd be more than happy to look at that. But I don't think at the moment I'm confident that I can make that jump, let's say that.
Okay, yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see if how and when that actually happens.
I think it's when, not if. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. This, by the way, coincidentally, this podcast will be coming out right at the time of Black Mirror's season 5 launch. That's just a total coincidence.
Right.
Total coincidence.
That's Netflix, isn't it?
That's Netflix.
Okay, so get your Netflix subscription.
Speaking of the future, though, I'm just saying.
Speaking of sci-fi.
Yeah, right. And yes, and speaking of Black Mirror, a little British culture. We've got a lovely British accent right here with us, so I've got to touch on this. Last question, Brexit, of course. We've heard some theories on this podcast ranging across the board. Some say Brexit will have maybe a slight negative impact on the funding industry. Some say no impact. We've heard a few people say that it's actually going to be a very positive impact on the funding industry. Let's say Brexit, first assuming Brexit actually happens, which is an assumption there, but assuming it goes through, How do you think it'll impact both the UK legal market and then, by extension, the litigation funding market as well?
Yeah, I don't see too much correlation between Brexit in whatever form it might take place. And of course, as you said, that's a bit of an unknown at the moment. And the litigation finance industry. I really don't. I think that there are potentially some implications for London as a legal services centre. But I was lucky enough to be present at quite a few of the seminars in London International Disputes Week a few weeks back, which was a pretty good sales pitch on behalf of London as a seat. But I think rightly so. I think that people emphasise the quality of people that are here, the quality of legal advice and experience, and you know, there's some tremendous facilities in London as well for cases. The International Arbitration Centre has just opened up on Fleet Street in London, which is a magnificent facility for arbitration hearings. And you know, London as a hub in terms of transportation is second to none, of course. I think one of the concerns was potentially that, and this may not even be a Brexit issue, that London perhaps, or the UK needs to make sure that it's easy for people to come in and out in terms of visa applications. And so whether post-Brexit that means it's more difficult for people from the European Union to get in and out without queuing too long at passport control, we'll see. But as you know yourself, it's easier now to tend to get through passport control than it used to with e-gates and technology. So I think the most important thing is the expertise in the UK, and I think it is. And yes, of course, there's some very good other seats developing, and one can't ignore, I think, the very ambitious programme that Singapore is setting out at the moment. And in terms of logistics, obviously, if you're in Southeast Asia and Australia, you know, Singapore geographically is a well positioned seat. So I think the rise of other arbitration and litigation centres needs to be watched, and that's a challenge to the UK. Don't see it necessarily as being Brexit related. The concern would be, I suppose, and particularly perhaps if there's a hard Brexit, whether people would want to be located there as much, or would be happy to locate themselves in places like Dublin, Paris, Frankfurt, to make sure they can capture more of that intra-EU market. So I do think that whatever Brexit does occur, let's hope that it's a soft one, if at all, because then I think that it's more likely that people would stay put. But I'm very much a sort of, you know, a positive view on London and you know, the rest of the UK as well. There's some other good legal centres in the UK, although inevitably London tends to be the main one. So yeah, I think that I don't think we've got too much to worry about at this stage, but we do have to keep our eye on things. Yes.
Great. That's great. Yeah. Well, a positive outlook. Always.
Positive
always,
outlook, yeah, yeah.
Always end on a positive outlook.
Glass is half full.
Yeah. Glass is definitely half full. No AI robots taking over yet, and London positive outlook.
Correct.
Excellent. Well, Peter, this was great. I really appreciate you coming on, discussing your business with us. Thank you so much for doing that. And yeah, if you're interested in Peter and Four Rivers, you can visit them at their website. It's www.fourrivers.legal. That's the number 4rivers.legal. And you can visit them there and see what they're all about. And yeah, Peter, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure to meet you, John. I'm delighted to talk.
Absolutely. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time on the Litigation Finance Podcast.